Drum roll, please.
Okay. Welcome to the very first episode of
this new podcast,
where we investigate
the weirdest people, places, and things across the story of civilization.
Because we wanted to have a conversation about politics that we just couldn't find anywhere else.
We're going to take an issue and give you all the context you need to know, and we're going to do it every way we know how. Interviews, clips, trips, radio drama, maybe even a song.
Welcome, everyone, to my thesis. I call it Aristotle Meets Apple, Rhetoric in the Podcast. My name is Anna Patrico. Part podcast, part paper, part audio, and part text, my thesis is a multimedia project that is centered on one single topic, podcasting.
And how many of you know what podcast? How many of you heard of podcasting? Great. How many of you actually know what it is? Okay. How many of you have listened to a podcast? And how many of you have actually subscribed to a podcast?
That voice right there, that was Steve Jobs. He was attending a D3 All Things Digital Wall Street Journal conference to reveal new updates in Apple products. Jobs was looking dapper in his typical black shirt, wide circular glasses, erratically waving his hands. He was performing soft, yet tasteful, humble brags about his new tech updates. Now, he is a major player in this podcast. Aristotle is too. We will be hearing him read in translated ancient Greek. Together, Jobs and Aristotle will preview what the 55 pages of my Vanderbilt 2018 honors thesis will discuss. In this podcast, I aim to practice many of the sound editing skills my thesis discusses, to create my own heteroglossic conversations, and to produce the narrating techniques I so admire. The podcast is an electrifying, exciting, and groundbreaking multimedia form that, frankly, needed a podcast to reach up and properly address it. First things first, what do we mean by podcast? Let's break the word down, shall we?
Podcasting is a word that's concatenation of iPod and broadcasting, right? Put together podcasting. And what podcasting is, it's started off as Wayne's World for radio. Think of it that way, right? Where you've got anybody could make a radio show and put it on the internet and broadcast it out there and anybody else could listen to it.
Take iPod and add it to broadcasting and you get podcasting. This word demonstrates how Apple was largely responsible for producing the podcast. Apple technology revolutionized the podcast in 2004 and then produced yet another wave of popularity in 2014. Now, I will break all of this down for you, but I first want to explore podcast roots in radio. Long-form radio pieces had pre-existed Apple's technology. The British Broadcasting Corporation, or the BBC, had created radio features in the 1920s.
Or both, my dear, in each other's arms.
Oh, Jack.
Even death shall not part us.
Oh, Jack, don't. It's too awful.
Our poor young lives cut so short.
Oh, don't. Don't.
There'll be articles in all the newspapers.
Oh, I wish I could read them.
You can't have your funeral and watch it, young lady.
This is fun. I wouldn't have missed it for anything.
European acoustic films were popular in the 1930s, and National Public Radio, or NPR, created the intellectual radio documentaries in 1970. Journalist Ira Glass redefined radio in 1995 with his conversational This American Life program. Now, I've seen Ira Glass in person. He's funny, and he's witty, and he talks very, very fast. And when he sits down, he rubs his legs as he talks. Now, Ira Glass was self-reflexive about the new show he was producing in 1995. Here's a clip from his first episode ever.
Okay, well, what? About a minute. We're 1:05 into the new show. Right now, it is stretching in front of us. A perfect future, yet to be fulfilled. An uncharted little world. A little baby coming into the world, no little scars on it or anything.
In doing so, he sets the tone, giving an informal definition of what he imagines the podcast will someday be.
The idea of this show, this new little show, is stories. Some by journalists and documentary producers like myself. Some just regular people telling their own little stories. Some by artists and writers and performers of all different kinds. And the idea is we're going to bring you stuff you're not going to find anywhere else.
I'm going to cut in here and do acknowledge that there really is no proper way to interrupt the fast-talking Ira Glass. But I really want to focus on what he said at the end of his soundbite. His show would provide, quote, stuff that you aren't going to find anywhere else, end quote. Now, this is a common theme in introductions to podcasts, as each production really aims to satisfy an itch that can't be scratched over any other medium. This American Life is a prototype for the podcast genre that would differentiate itself from radio in three main ways. First, its online accessibility. Like broadcast, podcasts are available for listeners at any time. Secondly, the podcast is unique for its portability. Users can tap in and subscribe to podcasts on their portable electronic device. And finally, the podcast covered topics, which range from interviews to complex sound-edited storytelling programs, expand beyond the reach of classic radio. Who was responsible for creating the technology that made the podcast so successful? You guessed it, Apple. In 2004, the company began the first wave of podcasting. It released its Really Simple Syndication, or RSS, software in 2004.
And then what you could do is, because people like to put out multiple episodes of their radio show, you could subscribe to a radio show. And every time it's updated, you'll get the update right on your computer, and it'll go into your iPod when you sync your iPod, right? Pretty cool.
Apple's new RSS software invited listeners to subscribe to RSS feeds. Listeners were notified when episodes were released and could listen to them on the go like they could a broadcast. Fast forward 10 years. It is now 2014, and Apple kickstarts a second wave of podcast fever. Apple released its native podcast app on its iOS software. The app is purple and looks like the letter I, surrounded by two semicircular rings, and was available on all Apple devices. Now, Apple did so right when Serial, the blockbuster long-form podcast, exploded all the charts.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial, one story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
The intersection of these two events caused podcast awareness to skyrocket to 60% of all Americans, or an estimated 168 million people. So it really does make sense that the podcast is named after Apple technology. But Apple didn't stop there. It released a native voice memos app on all devices, so users can now record audio for podcasts on the go. This right here, this is the sound of a Greek lyre. I want to get you in the mood for what I will talk about next. Now, this is going to feel like a radical change of gears. I will now analyze how the podcast is an extension of ancient Greek rhetorical forms. Yes, you heard me. How the modern podcast, one that you listen to on fancy trains commuting to work, is connected to the toga-wearing era of ancient Greece. Yet, these topics aren't that separate, after all, as the podcast is relying on a long tradition of rhetorical genres, old media simply taking a new shape and importance in the modern day. To explain this, I've recruited the help of Aristotle, or the nice boy who lives across the hall from me, who does really great voice impressions. First, let's understand what I mean by rhetoric, as Aristotle explains in his seminal text, Art of Rhetoric.
Rhetoric, then, may be defined as the faculty of discovering the possible means of persuasion in reference to any subject whatever.
We have relied on ancient Greek rhetorical forms since the beginning of time. Though we are no longer in the Greek polis, deliberating on policies in a shared square, and though we're no longer publicly accosting and blaming criminals while donning white robes, we still rely on rhetoric today in more subtle and profound ways. Aristotle defined three forms of rhetoric. They are deliberative, forensic, and epideictic. Now, I'm not quoting Aristotle directly here, but I figured he could help me break down the definitions of these rhetorical forms.
Deliberative rhetoric aims to identify problems in the Greek polis to then provide policy solutions to better the future of the state.
Define problems and promote policy solutions. This is not unlike the American legislative branch today. Now, the next branch of rhetoric is forensic.
Forensic rhetoric accuses or defends citizens, rectifying actions of the past. And finally,
the third and final branch, epideictic rhetoric.
Epideictic rhetoric praises or blames others to establish a common culture with its listeners.
So to slow and break that down, forensic rhetoric accuses or defends citizens in court. Epideictic rhetoric aims to be a ceremonial address and to establish a common culture with listeners. Aristotle differentiated these rhetorical forms by time. Forensic rhetoric addresses the crimes of the past, epideictic rhetoric establishes the culture of the present, and deliberative rhetoric proposes policies for the future. I have found podcasts that adhere to, extend, and challenge each of these rhetorical genres. Before showing you bits and pieces of these podcasts, I want to explain how I will go about analyzing them. All right, so I have something new for you all. A new theory that I've created just for my thesis. It's called Close Listening, and it's an adaptation of the New Criticism's Close Reading movement. Now, close reading looks carefully at how a work structure constitutes its meaning. When one close reads a poem, they analyze symbols, metaphors, the rhyme scheme, repetition, etc., to see how all of this works towards the poem's intended message. My close listening theory, on the other hand, will examine narration techniques, music, sound editing cuts, and narrative structure, attentive to how the audio platform communicates the meaning of the podcast. My close listening theory will analyze 5 podcasts in this thesis, paying special attention to how they interact with rhetorical forms.
So, will I need headphones for this?
Great question. Yes, you will need headphones for this thesis. I have placed several sound bites within the actual text of my thesis to show you how I have employed close listening. So as you read along, click on the sound bites to experience the audio as I had. Podcasts are meant to be listened to, which is frankly why I chose to do an audio podcast introduction in the first place. A subset of this close listening theory that I've created is heteroglossia. No, heteroglossia is not a medical condition, but is rather a literary theory created by Russian linguist Mikhail Bakhtin. Here he is.
I believe that different voices in a novel that each bring their own histories and personal understandings of language are in conversation with one another.
The podcast, created 70 years after Bakhtin codified this theory, overtly does what the novel subtly accomplishes. Through sound editing technology, podcasts quite literally put voices in direct dialogue with one another. My close listening theory will analyze these internal conversations that arise from heteroglossic edits. In fact, I will show you a heteroglossic edit right now to quickly whet your interest in which podcast will be a part of my thesis. Here it goes. I will be introducing Revisionist History, Note to Self, Serial, The Nod, and Still Processing.
My name is Malcolm Gladwell. You're listening to Revisionist History, my podcast about things overlooked and misunderstood.
Welcome to this special episode of Note to Self. I'm Anoush Zomorodi, and today we are launching our latest interactive project with you. We call it The Privacy Paradox.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial, one story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
This is The Nod.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
We're lifelong friends.
And for as long as we can remember, we have been obsessed with the stories and the people who define what it means to be Black.
Great. I'm Wesley Morris.
I'm Jenna Wortham.
We're culture writers of the New York Times.
Welcome to Still Processing.
Oh! What was that sound? That was the sound of a podcast launching!
I will first analyze how revisionist history and Note to Self adapt and extend the deliberative rhetorical genre, how they are encouraging listeners to become involved in solving the problems presented themselves. Then I will look at Serial as a pioneer long-form podcast that adheres to the forensic rhetorical genre and how it critiques the nature of truth, showing it to be a rhetorical construction. And finally, I will compare and contrast The Nod and Still Processing, two podcasts that adhere to the epideictic form that either praise American Blackness or blame racist conditions to mourn the effects that these have on our country. So put your headphones in and enjoy this behemoth of a thesis. 2 semesters in the making, dozens of discarded drafts, and hours of podcast listening have all added up into this multimedia project. I hope that you enjoy and that you learn something meaningful. I'll be back on the mic again at the conclusion of this piece, and maybe Aristotle will be too. Thank you all for listening.